Good morning. Good morning. We are going to start in Romans 5. And many people have asked me what I'm preaching on. It's going to be about giving thanks and thanksgiving. Be thankful for the snow that's coming. I hear it's supposed to snow on Tuesday. We'll see. But the meteorologists aren't always right. They're the one job you could get wrong every time. And yeah. As long as you deliver it good. So I'm going to start off with a little story. Kind of like my father does with the stories. Once upon a time, in a dense forest, lived a group of sparrows. Among them was a young sparrow who was always grumpy and dissatisfied. He was never content with what he had and always wished for more. He would often complain about the food, the nest, and the weather. No matter how comfortable and cozy they were, his ungrateful attitude had made him an outcast among his peers. One day, the young sparrow flew far away from his flock in search of better food and a nicer place to live. He flew for miles until he reached a lush garden filled with fruits and flowers. The young sparrow was delighted to have found such a beautiful place, and he decided to make it his new home. He made himself a nest in branches of a tall tree, and he started to gorge on all the delicious fruits in the garden. He felt happy and content for a while, but soon his greedy nature took over and he wanted more. He started to demand more fruits from the trees. And when they did not give him enough, he became angry and he would peck at them. The gardener noticed the damage the young sparrow was causing and decided to get rid of the sparrow. He set a trap for the bird and caught him in a cage. And the young sparrow was trapped and helpless. And then he started to regret his behavior. He wished he had been grateful for the comforts he had before and that he never left his flock. Days passed and the young sparrow was still trapped in the cage. He had lost his freedom, his will to live. He realized the true value of freedom and the importance of gratitude. He understood that he should have been happy with what he had and not wish for more. So there's a little more to that story, but we'll get back to him. Let's just read Romans 5, to start verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let's just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. We thank you for this time that we can have. And just for all the blessings that we have and all that we can be thankful for. And please let your words be spoken and not mine. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So, in that... There we go. It kept on sliding off. We heard this little story, and I'm sure at one point or another we've all been kind of in that situation as that sparrow, where we've had something and then we've wanted more. And I tell my kids all the time, it's important to be content with what you have but want more, right? There's something really wrong with wanting more. Like if you're in sports or in something, you're happy with your performance because you gave 100%, but it's okay to want to get better. So we've all had this struggle at some point in our lives, and reading this scripture, rejoice in our sufferings. Probably one of the hardest possible things to do that the Lord wants us to do. Rejoice in sufferings. And as we go in the like as stories in the Bible, there's several stories of things happening and gratitude and all that stuff. But in our everyday life, how can we be thankful when something's going wrong or something bad? And there's a saying that they talk about if was it a I'm gonna mess it up. But basically, if a person doesn't go through a lot of struggles, they're going to have a hard life. And the person that had the hard life later on, it's going to be easy. I don't know how it's up here, but I can't spit it out. But every time that you get better, it's typically from something that is hard, right? So when you work out, the whole purpose is to break down your muscles so that it comes back stronger. God made our bodies that if you break a bone in a certain spot, you will most likely never break your bone in that spot again because it comes back stronger in that specific spot. So how do we rejoice and suffering? Let's turn to Romans. I'm sorry, not Romans. We're in Romans. Matthew 5. And you've all heard this before, but Matthew 5, starting in verse 2, it's the Beatitudes. So we'll just read so verse 11. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Have any of you been persecuted to be a Christian? I know right now, on the other side of the world, if you have a Bible and you're openly a Christian, they're killing people and things like that. Thankfully, we don't have to go through that here yet, but you never know. It could be coming. And if someone was to walk through that door and say, "Are you a Christian?" right now, and you're facing consequences for that, what would you say? Would you be able to? I know a lot depends on the circumstances, but would you be able to make that stand? Would you be thankful for that position? In the Bible, a couple things that was pretty interesting about people being in bad situations, but yet still thankful. We have David, who was constantly being chased, and people were trying to kill him all the time. And, he did all these psalms and he was thankful. We think of Paul, how he was in the boat, and when he was on one of his missionary journeys, and the boat was going crazy, and he was thankful. In Matthew, let's turn to, well, we're already in Matthew. Switch down to Matthew 14. And this is when Jesus fed the 5,000. One of the things we talked about at Thanksgiving was, where's a spot that you would like to see? Like if you went to Jerusalem and all these other places, if you went over there, where's a spot that you would like to see that where Jesus walked? Mine was, I actually brought up where he fed the 5,000 because I wanted to know how someone without like a microphone could talk to that many people in one shot. I just wanted to see how they would be laid out. And but in this story, we have the 5,000 people, and he needed, you know, they were all hungry, and it's been a few days since they ate, and then so he ended up with, what was it, five fishes and two fish and five loaves of bread, right? So let's just read a little bit. So now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in the boat and to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him. This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. And they said, we have but only five loaves, and here are two fishes. And he said, bring them here to me. And he ordered the crowds to sit down, and he, taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. So right there it shows that he's thanking the Lord that he has two fish and five loaves to feed 5,000 people. Way not enough to feed that many people, right? But here he is thanking the Lord for it. And then what does the Lord do? They ended up with, what, 12 baskets extra, right? For all, one for each of the disciples. And it just shows that God has blessings even if we don't see it right away. And this may be a struggle, and the disciples are probably looking at Jesus like, you have enough for you and maybe one other to have a snack, but you don't have enough to feed all these people. And back then when they're counting 5,000 people, they're counting the men. So there was most likely a lot more people there than that. And there was most likely kids, and there was women there too, so it was probably closer to 10 or 12,000 people if you consider all the children and mothers and things. In life, are we able to just get that one little bit that doesn't seem enough and be thankful for it? And it's a hard thing to be thankful in everything, even though we don't see the big picture. You know, God, he designed everything, and he puts everything in place, and it's his perfect plan, and we shouldn't try to mess up his perfect plan. So rejoice in our sufferings. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, is that all I want to read? Yeah. Sorry. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Then we go to Ephesians. Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There again it says, give thanks always. And then Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts in your minds in Christ Jesus. And right there, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgivings, let your requests be known. Right there, it even says, be thankful. You even have a chance to ask. You know, it's, everyone has that direct line to God. And we can ask our Creator something that we desire. Just that is a big thing. You know, I know, like, with all politics and things like that, like, if we had to go and try to fight to get less taxes or something, we have to go through a whole bunch of different things. We could go right to the governor and talk to him, but that really won't do anything, right? And we have to do all these different steps. But in our life, we could go directly to our Creator and ask him and talk to him. And, you know, there's really nothing else like it. So, rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. You know, why do you think we need endurance in this world? You know, just life can beat you up. You know, if everything was easy, you know, there would just be no problems, right? Everything would be simple. There'd be no car accidents. We wouldn't need stop signs and lights and rules. But life isn't that easy. So we have to go through these things. And there's times where, you know, people want to give up. And it's understandable, but the Lord is right there with us and saying, like, don't give up. We all know the footprints poem, right? Well, when I was going through the trouble, I only saw the one set of footprints. And Jesus said, well, that's when I carried you. And we don't always recognize that right off the rip. And sometimes we look back, and then that's when we notice these things. But the Lord's encouraging us through these scriptures that once we have that struggle or that thing comes up, be thankful. You know, Find out what the Lord is trying to teach you. In Luke 21:19, it says, "By your endurance, you will gain your lives." So you just stick in there, and the Lord is going to be right there, and you will eventually see. James 1, let's start in verse 2. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." You know, that's another way of saying what they're saying in Romans here. When the Lord repeats it in the Bible over and over, it's an important thing. So let's just read that again. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." When I read that, and it talks about being perfect and complete, we can't really be perfect and complete, right? It's always tough. It's always good to strive for perfection, but you never actually be perfect. As close as my golf game is to perfect. Yeah, not the front nine. But the one thing about golf is it's a game that can only be played. You know, it's an impossible activity to be perfect at. So because they have holes where you can't reach in one shot, right? So if you, in golf, a lot of times, like, especially if people are watching, I don't know what that is, but when you go to hit the ball and a lot of people are watching, it is, all of a sudden becomes a lot harder. And I would consider that defense in golf, people watching. But you hit a bad shot and you still have a long way to go. But you get another chance, right? Even if you hit your ball into the woods or the water, which I don't think I've ever done. But you still get another chance. So then there was a time where, you know, you have the tee box then where the guys hit, and then I didn't even hit it past where the ladies hit. And that next shot, instead of giving up, I hit that next shot, and I ended up closer than other people on their second shot, even though they hit it a lot farther. And it was just that I didn't give up or take a drop where Pete was. But you just have to keep moving forward. I was not thankful for that bad hit, but I could tell you after the fact that I had that second great shot, I'm thankful I was able to hit that second great shot. So looking back, at the time it wasn't great, but looking back, I could talk about that second shot like I won the championship. But when I hear about perfection, it always brings me to Romans 12:1-2. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And like I said before, it's always good to be thankful where you're at, but it's good to strive for more. And to strive for that, to be perfect like our Lord, is a good thing. And you want to be thankful for the lessons you will learn on the way. So knowing that suffering produces endurance, another endurance talk, Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God would reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So, in this, press towards the goal and go forward. You know, we've all in our life, we have messed up, we've sinned, and we've all fallen short, right? And we get those times where that comes back to us, right? And we start thinking about what we could have done better and the struggles. Was I thankful then? But now looking back and like those struggles that we had, God made you the person you are because like those things happened, right? And now you probably can help somebody else that went through that same thing. And when you start getting down, it's like, oh man, I'm a bad person because I did those things. You have to be thankful that God brought you out of them. And now you've learned from them. And I knew back then when you were going through that hard time and you probably weren't thankful at the time, and you might not even be thankful now that you went through those things, but the Lord's telling you, be thankful. So listen to him. Be thankful because now you have more endurance than somebody else in that particular situation. And the endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And the hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. You know, what is that hope? What is it that we as Christians hope for? I know we're all looking forward to heaven and things like that, but here on earth, do we have a hope? And what is that? For each person, it's probably a little bit different. In Philippians 1, verse 20, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So, even the bigwigs of the Bible had struggles. It says it right there. And he was thankful and he did get a lot of the desires of his heart. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. What is it that you desire? Is it living that full life for Christ? Is it something for you personally? And are you always thankful going through your struggles. Let's hear the last bit of this sparrow story. One day, a wise old sparrow flew by the garden and saw the young sparrow trapped in the cage. The sparrow asked him what had happened, and the young sparrow explained his story, and the wise old sparrow listened carefully, saying, "Be grateful for what you have, and you will always have more. But if you are ungrateful, you will always lose what you have." The young sparrow realized the truth, and in the old sparrow's words and promise never to be ungrateful again. The wise old sparrow then flew to the gardener and tweeted at him and asked him to release the young sparrow. The gardener agreed and set the bird free. I don't know how the bird did that, but it's a story. From that day on, the young sparrow became a different bird. He was always grateful for what he had and appreciated the comforts of his nest, the food, and the company of his fellow sparrows. He realized that happiness came from within and that material possessions did not bring lasting joy. The wise old sparrow's words had changed him forever, and he had learned that the greatest gift of all was the gift of gratitude, and he had gained it through his painful experience. Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order, confusion into clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, and a stranger into a friend. No, it is tough to be thankful in everything. And have you ever tried to, had you ever tried to say your blessings or run them through your head, all the blessings that you have on a daily basis? And if you haven't, I encourage you to try that. And then one step more, you write your blessings down. And then if you write them down, read them, and say them out loud, you hear it all a bunch of different ways. And you will realize how blessed you are. And on a daily basis, it's almost hard to write every blessing we have down. You know, once you start going through the list, and you start to be thankful for a couple things, and more just keep popping up, and more and more. And then during those struggle times, know that the Lord is making you stronger in some way, shape, or form. Just like working out, you're breaking something down to get better. And over in the Bible, it talks about being thankful. Be thankful, be thankful. And through the Bible, it shows several examples. There was also King David. He was thankful. It's 2 Samuel 6. It talks about him being thankful. Daniel, even though he got tossed in a den. We got Mary. She was being thankful. And all these people had these different struggles. And we just have to look to the Lord. And if there's that other saying that I'm going to mess up, but if you look to yourself, get depressed, look to others, be blessed. So when you are down, when you're going through a struggle, pray. And the Lord isn't a vending machine, so don't go there only when you need something. He wants that full relationship with you. And when you have the relationship with the Lord and you're talking to him daily, instead of only when you need him, you will see the difference. I've been in both situations where, you know, I haven't talked to the Lord or prayed in a while, and then I called on him when I was in trouble. And then there's other times where I was in the Word and reading all the time, and then a trouble approached, and it was very different mindsets in both of them. So I encourage you to stay in the Word and constantly talk to God. Don't only call on him when you need something. Reading just a little farther in Romans 5, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, just like a parent to a kid, you know, that it's very difficult for a parent to lose love for a kid. You know, with my kids, there's not much they can do where I wouldn't still love them. I can't think of anything. I'm not going to try, but, you know, and our Lord makes that abundantly clear that we are his children and he will take care of us. So just a challenge to be thankful in everything. If you see a problem coming up, be thankful. Reach out to the Lord and talk with him about it. And know that after going through this struggle, on the other side, you are going to come out a better person. As long as you are doing it according to the way the Lord wants you to. And then even if you mess up, and then you mess up again, the Lord's going to love us. He's going to be right there every time. So I just want to thank the Lord for showing me this lesson. I know hopefully it made sense to everyone, but, you know, it hit me pretty good that those suffering times is almost the times to be more thankful and to really just rely on God. And I know a lot of Christian people will just say, oh, just, you know, rely on God. It's like, well, I have to move my house. Like, oh, just God will take care of it. You know, but be thankful for the little things, because God is great in the big things. But let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are, all that you've done for us. We thank you for this lesson on being thankful. I know it helped me, and I wasn't always thankful for certain little things and that I probably should be. And just thankful for you and all the time that you and everything that you give to us. And we thank you for the people here, and please bless them and keep everyone safe as they travel home. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.